Blog Talk Radio.
The day, and by my spirit, I'm making the way, and by my spirit,
voice and you begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
My people, let's talk about love. It is the most important thing. Many of my people are striving for many things. Gifts, talents, prophecy, power, relationships, money, ministries, education, recognition. Things that are considered accomplishments in both the physical realm and religious circles. But not many are striving for mature love. I have told you in Scripture that everything hangs on love. Everything. My people, let's talk about love. It is the most important thing. Many of my people are striving for many things. Gifts, talents, prophecy, power, relationships, money, ministries, education, recognition. Things that are considered accomplishments in both the physical realm.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
But not many are striving.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord Tower. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. I apologize. Hallelujah. Everything, God, hallelujah, a little bit, hallelujah, out of control. But I believe we're back in control. If I'm too loud, please let me know. Let me know if I'm too loud. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The important part is that everyone can hear me fine. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, hallelujah, if the audio is fine, hallelujah, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Jesus, so we can go ahead and go into our Bible study tonight. Amen. Thank you, the Lord's servant. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greater the attack, the greater the blessing. Shalom, Sister Consuelo. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. Remember that. The greater the attack, the greater the blessing. Keep that in mind. Yes, shalom, Sister Renee. Amen. So we stay focused on the Lord. Stay focused on Jesus. Amen. The attack can come one way or another, but we are trusting the Lord. That's what's important. Amen. That we continue to trust the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We shared last Sunday that we wrestle not against blood, flesh or blood, but against principality, powers of the air. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's keep also that in mind. Hallelujah. That praise you, Lord, when God gives us a message, amen, it's when, hallelujah, where things are going to start, hallelujah, getting difficult. Always keep that in mind, that sometimes you have a revelation from the Lord, Shalom Sister Luna, a revelation, a dream, a victory, an answer to prayer. In other words, you get attacked one way or another through your family, through someone. Why is that? Amen? Because the enemy is mad. Because you just got your prayer answered. Or before you get your prayer answered, you get attacked. What is that all about? The enemy is trying to discourage you to believe God, to walk by faith. So always keep in mind that, why am I being attacked? Why is this happening? Yet it's always an open door. But keep in mind always that the blessing is close to come. Amen. And so when the blessing is close to come, this is what's going to happen. We are in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I don't know. Somehow, I don't know if there's an echo I hear. I hear it's a sound. Amen. But if you say you hear me fine, I'm going to leave it as is so we can move on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise the Lord. Praise you, God. Sister Rain, shalom. Amen. So Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how we are justified. Okay? Keep this in mind. Keep this in your knowledge. Or make this your knowing in God. Remember the word says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If you keep this in your heart, if you keep this in your knowledge, my brother and sister, it's going to help you so much. We need to focus on Jesus. How do we focus on Jesus? By focusing on what he's telling us in his word. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. What his word is, his commandment, because through his word, he commands us to listen, to hear, to practice, to obey, to put in action. Amen. So therefore, being justified by faith. Amen. Justification is what God says, I have forgiven you, when the enemy is accusing you, or when someone is accusing you. The enemy can use people. We know that by now. As a Christian, we know this by now. The enemy can use anyone practically who's not walking right with God, who's in sin. He can use the enemy who are in church. We know that by now. This is not something we need to sit down and discuss for a few hours. No. We know that the enemy can use anybody. But remember, therefore, being justified by faith. You believe in Christ. You believe in Jesus. You've been justified. You've been forgiven. We have peace with God. This is in regard to your relationship with God. Have peace with God that you've been justified by faith. And all this happened, Paul says, hallelujah, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He died for you and I. It's all this of justification, being forgiven, being protected, being put a seal in your life, being blessed, being kept, helping you to endure. All this is because of what Jesus did on the cross. At one time, Jesus came to me to take me to Father's throne and to take me to heaven. And before he did, hallelujah, I don't remember him doing this, but we were going up in the cloud from the earth and the spirit. He takes me out of my body. I'm seeing Jesus in front of me. We're both going up. I'm looking at him, and he stops. And when he stops, he turns around, and he tells me that this is all because he went to the cross. Okay? This is not because you pray many hours or fast every week or read my word and believe my word so much. This is because of what he did on the cross. Now, but we are justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, my brother and sister. In this relationship, we have peace with God. Totally have peace with God. You know, I was repenting. were Father this morning. And then, hallelujah, very early in the morning, around 1 or 2, and I was talking to the Lord. I was talking to Father through the Lord, and Father was answering me. I had total peace with him. There was no total peace. My brother and sister, hallelujah. When you approach him through Christ and you believe, one thing the Lord had taught me is that when we pray, we pray by faith. And there is a level of faith, or there's a level you reach in the spirit by faith, closeness with God, that the Lord hammered that to me, because he rebuked me many times in regard to that, not to doubt. You know, we as a Christians, we should believe his word and never doubt his word for one second. And the moment you entertain doubt, you open the door to the enemy. My brother and sister, no, don't do so. At all. Don't do so at all. Thank you, Jesus. Understand that everything God says through his word is 100% accurate. Now, listen to this. I still haven't talking yet with Brother Benjamin, okay? But I had a dream with him last night, which I probably should share with him. I believe it was him because this brother, which I believe is Brother Benjamin, okay, was questioning how close that we are to be going home in the rapture of the pasture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's either praying about it or asking God, and God let me know that he's been asking about this. So the Lord takes me out in the spirit this morning, and I encounter brother in the spirit, and I said, brother, follow me. And as he followed me, my brother insisted, I said, let me show you what the Lord has shown me. And we walked just a little, not a little, my brother and sister, not much. If it was 25 feet, it probably was too long, walking together. I said, brother, follow me for a minute. And we started walking together. And I showed him eternity. The entrance to eternity was right there next to us. And I said to him, look how close we are to be going home. And he's like, brother Alvie, this is close, he says to me. And I said, you see, this is what the Lord has shown me. I said, brother, this is what the Lord has shown me that I have shared on the Lord's hour. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. And I probably should have called Brother Benjamin on the phone and said, Brother Benjamin, look what the Lord showed me this morning. And I believe it was you probably asking the Lord or praying. I don't know. I should have probably asked him. And I said, the Lord had me show you how close we are to be going home. And when brother looked at the distance, look how close it is, he says, Brother Elvie, this is close. And I said, this is what the Lord has shown me, how close we are. But Father, you see, you don't know if it's in a month or 9 months. You cannot put a distance or put a time in the spirit. You just know that before it was farther away. Now we're closer to be going home, my brothers and sisters. It's close. It is close. And I remember the Lord saying that when the time of the rapture will come, when the rapture would happen, my brother and sister, it will be closer than what people think. So what's in people's mind right now in regard to the rapture? It's going to be sometime, someday, some people say. Maybe in a couple of years, 3 years, 25 years, some people may think. A year, 6 months. I don't know what's in people's mind. Because everybody is making their mind about the rapture all the time. So I don't know. But since the Lord said that it will be before what people think about it for a second. Amen. It's hard to determine what's in people's mind, but I can tell you it's close. Okay? And a lot of people don't believe it's close. A lot of people will say to Brother Elvie, relax, it's going to happen someday. Why don't you just relax and let it happen, let it come? Plan your life, live your life before the rapture. Don't be rapture all the time, Brother Elvie. Amen. He used to get people mad. Every time I talked about the rapture and the Lord Tower, he used to make people mad because people say, how can you just talk about the rapture every day? You don't know the day or the hour. It's in the horizon. Who knows? How far is it? Amen. But I'm excited for it, though, too. Think about it. I want to be with the Lord so good. People say bad. Good. I want to be with him so good, not bad. My brother and sister, I want to go to heaven so good that I'm looking forward for the rapture. I truly am looking forward for the rapture. I'm looking for the departure. I just want to go to heaven, my brother and sister, and forget about this nightmare down here. Because you know that using the term nightmare is correct. Because Paul said that this life is but a dream. It's but a dream. So this nightmare that we're living, I just want to put it behind, my brother and sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Okay? Listen to what this rabbi say. And I probably, hallelujah. Amen. Brother said, I was watching a baseball game thinking that the rapture would happen on a day like today. We are a second away from the Great Tribulation. Amen. And going home. And going home. That's it. That's so true. That is so true. Thank you, Lord. This rabbi say that earth is going to be higher than heaven when God finished with it. And you know, I started meditating on what he says. This rabbi, I remember his name, but he says that earth will be higher than heaven when God finished everything. And I've been meditating on this because remember, they studied Torah, they studied the commandment, and they study and study and study and study. And I had questioned a lot of the things Rabbi had said years ago when I asked the Lord, because I saw much wisdom in what they had to say. And I talked to Jesus about this. And the Lord says that is wisdom in his word. Amen. And that's where they get their wisdom. He's the one that gives it to them through his word. Now, this rabbi said that earth will be higher than heaven when God is finished with it. And now I was meditating on this verse that came to mind, that when sin abounds, when the sin, grace abounds even greater. In other words, there's no sin in heaven, in the first heaven, second heaven, or third heaven. There's no sin. There's only sin on the earth. Now, God's going to take hell and everything and throw it in the lake of fire. God's going to clean the earth before he starts the millennium. He's going to throw the Antichrist and the false prophet and then leave Satan for 1,000 years. So by the end, when he finishes this, at the end of 1,000 years, the white throne judgment, the earth again, my brother and sister, is set in such a way where God will bring his city that is in the third city, third heaven, third level, the New Jerusalem. My brother and sister. Amen. Let me see if I find a verse of grace abound. Thank you, Lord. So, there's no sin in heaven. There's no sin in eternity. There's only sin on earth. But God tabernacle, okay, will be established on the earth again. What does that make the earth higher? Because I started meditating. Verses started going through my mind. And I'm thinking, wow, that is amazing. That is amazing. God establishing his tabernacle with man. Again, my brother and sister. And the earth, the New Jerusalem, when you study about the New Jerusalem, it's glorious. It is just so glorious city, my brother and sister, with the glory. It shines with the glory of God. And I've been there and I've seen it. And it's so incredible that this rabbi say that the earth will be greater than the heaven. And it's because God, the Father, and the Son are coming to live to the earth. They're coming to live to the earth. Think about that for a second. My brother and sister, isn't that amazing? In that New Jerusalem? And that's there where we're going to serve God. So he says that we're looking forward to God establishing his kingdom on the earth. But from here to there, Man, this is a few steps, my brother and sister. Think about it for a second. This is a few steps before God changes everything. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Romans, and it's in the same verse 5. I just had to go down a little bit. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might be abound. But where sins abounded, grace they abound more. Okay? So now I'm thinking of the glorious bride. How glorious is God going to make the bride that everyone in heaven is looking forward to seeing the bride? My brother and sister. And Paul says to the Galatians, there's going to be a glorious bride. That means the glory of God is going to be on this bride. Jesus received from Father a crown of glory. The bride is going to receive from God a crown of glory. My brother and sister, there's only one in heaven that has the crown is Jesus. And the second that is going to receive such a glory from Father, such a glorious crown that's going to bring so much power, is the bride. My brother and sister, just think about it for a second. Hallelujah. So, how can grace abound? How can this glory be displayed? My brother and sister, how can this grace that can only come through our Lord Jesus Christ, that God meant it for eternity, that this will come, that this will be his plan, his agenda will be in this end of time, my brother and sister. He brought it through his son who went to the cross, my brother and sister. Now, how can it abound? How can grace be so big, so powerful, and cover so much sin? Hallelujah. There has to be sin first. So, moreover, the Lord entered, okay, which came through Moses and to the people, that the offense might abound. In other words, when the law came, that's when sin was identified to be sin, my brother and sister. But where sin abound, grace did much more, hallelujah, abound. That's when it get multiplied and seen to be glorious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I'm meditating on this today. Hallelujah. Because I'm thinking, hallelujah, how God's going to establish his throne on the earth, how he's going to establish the New Jerusalem on the earth. And I said, wow, it's starting to make sense to me, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Because once you start reading Revelation 21, then it makes, hallelujah, much sense. John saying, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister, prepare. The bride is being made ready. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. The New Jerusalem is already ready. It's already glorious, my brother and sister. It's already ready to come to the earth, but the earth is not ready yet. Only the bride is going home in the rapture. The great tribulation comes for 7 years. Then once the Lord throws all those into the, hallelujah, into hell and the lake of fire, only Satan is bound for 1,000 years, my brother and sister. And then he gets thrown into the lake of fire and death also. No more death, no more devil. No more death, no more devil. Both of the deity, fallen deity, gets thrown into the lake of fire, my brother and sister. But there's another deity that the Lord has shown me. Last year when the Lord took me to heaven, he started showing me all these prophetic visions in heaven. Hallelujah. And a big scream in heaven, my brother and sister. And then the Lord had me go to the heavenly places planning. Hallelujah. And I saw this deity, goddess, as people call them on the earth. Hallelujah. And I started looking at her, and she looked like Wonder Woman. She had these things these golden things on her face, my brother and sister. I want you to pay attention to this revelation. Hallelujah. Because this is going to, hallelujah, make a lot of sense to a lot of you that have been trying to put this Wonder Woman together, deity, fallen deity, or as they know them, fallen gods. She had these golden things like a snake on her head. Okay? She had these, hallelujah, short garment, like a chest, like steel on her chest, and a short, probably can call it overgarment or undergarment, short, very short dress where you can see most of her legs display. And she had these pieces on her arm, my brother and sister. And the dress was red. That short dress that she had, this Wonder Woman I saw that the Lord wanted me to look to. And I saw many women around her in the heavenly places full of demons listening to her. I saw great witches that I know and some of the people I know listening to her very careful, listening to her every word on how to attack people, men and women on the earth. My brother and sister, I followed them closely as they walking away, and she teaching them evil plan against men and women, my brother and sister. And she was referred to Diana, my brother and sister. And so when Wonder Woman, second movie of Wonder Woman came out, and I saw the commercial, and I heard the name Diana, it brought this fire in me, that remembering to see her in that place. And how closely these women were following her, her every word, her every details, my brother and sister. How is it that these organizations that are making this movie know so closely or can make this image of this deity, demon, fallen demon, of this demon Diana, know as Wonder Woman so exactly like the demon? The feeding height is exactly the body design. For the outfit, it is specific to the letter. In order for them to find a woman that will fit the design, that will fit the height, and everything that she had on, my brother and sister, to the letter, they have to choose a woman, and it has to be an Israelite woman, because for thousands of years, this fallen deity had come against the children of Israel, hallelujah, for so long, where even the prophet Jeremiah talks about her kingdom, her Babylon. Talk about her when he's talking about Babylon. My brother and sister, hallelujah, okay? And to me, that is incredible. The woman that has to be chosen has to be an Israelite in order for everything to fall in place, as she has been the one coming against the Jewish people for so many years. My brother and sister, when the second movie of Wonder Woman came out and I saw the commercial, something in me was burning on fire. Hallelujah. To remember this woman that it was shown to me. And the name Diana, it is so incredible. And there's so much more that I don't know if I should say it here. Something maybe that I have to pray about it. My brother and sister. But she is known as the one that comes against, hallelujah, God's people. And has done much damage from the beginning for a very long time. Hallelujah. And I can name names more, but I'll leave it as is. But keep that in mind and pray about that, my brother and sister. Okay? It is terrible what this woman can do, my brother and sister. She is referred as a goddess, as one that will fight the gods of God. She is known as in the demons' realm as the one who will fight the gods and overcomes them, which I believe that's in the first movie. She overcomes another fallen gods. And she is the only one that can, my brother and sister. But why do we have to be careful with this presentation of Diana, a Wonder Woman? It's because there's much witchcraft, sorcery, and black magic. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, much sorcery and black magic in everything she wear, how she dress. Why is the dress picked exactly how the real Diana is dressed and she wear? But there was one thing that I saw in the real Diana, and it was that her eyes were red, completely red, when she was dressed this way, which I didn't see in Wonder Woman. But there was a scene when I saw the movie where she was fighting and her eyes turned red, like when she's about to fight the enemy. And they play the music, which is also, the music is also chosen careful, because the music is to try to bring anyone who watches the movie close to like worshiping Diana, because she is worshiped in the heavenly places. She is served. They serve her careful. They follow every word she says, my brother and sister. So the music will be to bring, to entice people to trust in Diana as the deliverer. She's like trying, she is trying to take the place of the Lord in people's life. And that's what the music opens in people's life, a desire to trust her when she's fighting, how she defeats the enemy. My brother and sister. And this organization of Marvels is totally talking to this demon, totally in communion with this demon. In order for them, for the writer, for the director and the assistant director and all of them, to make the movie exactly how the demon is in the heavenly places. So in the Great Tribulation, the real Diana is going to be on the earth. And people are going to see the real Wonder Woman. It will be 100% like this Wonder Woman walking on the earth. But the question is, if people are already trusting on her to protect them and defend them, because that's what she's coming to, she is like Zeus, my brother and sister, the goddess of Zeus. He's coming to Europe, supposedly, to bring protection over them. But then his daughter, Diana, he sent to America to be the goddess of America. My brother and sister,
America is the one in love with Diana. Not so much Europe. Although she's presented to the world, but in America is where they are in love with her. Everything in regard to Diana, Wonder Woman, this demon, fallen deity, is that these people are in love with. My brother and sister, for months that the Lord showed me this, I've been trying to bring this information, hallelujah, about Wonder Woman. Hallelujah. Because the Lord had already awakened some of his people to know this. He showed me this, but the peace needed to be brought together. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This information is so important about Diana, Wonder Woman. Because she's a fallen deity, fallen principality, fallen demon. And there's more I can tell you about her, but some of you may not be ready. It's something I will have to wait on the Lord for when. But we are in the end time. My brother and sister, in the end time, hallelujah, everything comes to be revealed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So important. So, so important. So remember her garment. Remember her shield that she had on her right, on her left hand to protect herself from the dart of the enemy, of her enemy. Okay? When she puts her arm together as a cross, notice when she's fighting, she put her arm together. She takes, hallelujah, both of her arm, and she puts the cross in reverse. She uses the cross in reverse. See, the cross to the church means power, redeemed power, authority, overcoming the enemy. She when she set her arm, she puts the cross backward. Instead of putting the arm over the left arm, she puts the left arm over the right arm. Okay, remember what Jesus said about the those that are on the right? The one that are on the right are the one going to his kingdom. The one that are on the left are the one that are going to be burned, going to hell. So she takes the left hand, the one that are going to be burned, and she pulls them over the right, the one going over heaven. That's her plan to attack the Christian. That's what she's saying to us in the movie. I'm attacking the Christian. I'm coming against the Christian. Did Jesus say, if those days will not be shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. They're coming with everything they have, left fallen one, over the right, which is the church, to try to bring the church down. My brother and sister, it's an abomination what they're doing. She's trying to take in people's life, hallelujah, the what has belonged to Jesus. Hallelujah, she's trying to take over their lives. Hallelujah. And I saw all these women, demons in the heavenly places that all look like women, listening to her, following her instruction. My brother and sister, this is why it's so wicked. What she had on her face and her forehead is like a snake. It's like the devil is on her forehead. She's following the order of the devil. She's working with the devil. That's why she had like that snake on her forehead. My brother and sister, it's an abomination. Everything in regard to her is an abomination. My brother and sister. Okay? So her plan is, the dress is red because the blood that covered us is red. Okay? The blood of Jesus. We're covered under the blood. She's telling the people, I'm the one covering you. Or the people are going under her covering now. Under her covering. Okay? With the short dress, which is a sign also of prostitution, sin, and so much more. Okay? So she is like she dressed like a prostitute in the street of New York or in the street of London, okay, by presenting to herself not just a prostitute, but as a savior. And so when the music is played, Hallelujah. It gets something into people's spirit to trust Diana to deliver them, a Wonder Woman. Okay? No, no, no. There's only one that will do wonder, and it's our Lord. Hallelujah. He's a wonder wonder counselor, my brother and sister. Wonderful counselor. Hallelujah. Okay? She also has another garment where she has like wings because she's a fallen angel. It's another costume that she had that when she opened it up, it has like feathers. But her feathers are not like regular feathers. Her feathers are like metal, steel, my brother and sister. Okay? So her feathers are like weapons. In other words, that she uses. It's like a shield of protection, but like weapon. Our shield is the word. Ephesians 6:10-9. Okay, when we put on the armor, the shield, Paul said, take the shield of faith in order to quench the darts of the enemy. My brother insisted. She's telling people to trust in her to protect them from the enemy. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. My brother insisted. So we need to be very, very careful, my brother and sister. Everything in regard to her, it is specific to the letter. She was never made like Superman. She was never made like Superman, although a lot of people say that it was. Now, in the letter of Wonder Woman, there is like a W. But on both sides of the W, in the middle is like an eagle, which is representative of the United States. Okay? And in the letters, there are two F put in the letters on both sides. Like on the final day, hallelujah, she's going to win. She's going to win this battle is what she's letting humanity know. That on the final day, end of days, she's saying to people, trust her. Not the Lord, but her. Oh, you be careful. Be ye not deceived, the Lord says. Okay? My brother and sister. Okay? So she is presenting herself as a mother. She is presenting, and then going back in ages is, she's telling people, I've been around you for ages. For ages. But you didn't know. You didn't know. So she's claiming that people will trust her because she's been around for ages. So instead of taking instead of saying Wonder Woman 2024, an example, she's saying a Wonder Woman 1984. Every year is chosen specifically. In 1984, that's what is believed where the biggest population of witchcraft, sorcery, and black magic came out of the pit of hell. It was like in 1984 when with the pit of hell door was starting to be open over the United States and the world. So she's celebrating that. Like one of them that came out of the pit of hell in 1984. My brother and sister. But when then you watch the movie, she's like telling you, no, I've been around even earlier than 1984. 1984 was when I let you know I'm around. Okay, I came around. Oh, my brother and sister, be ye not deceived. Be ye not deceived. Okay? So she's going around with her boyfriend. In the last movie, her boyfriend is dead. She's meeting with the dead. She's letting humanity know that the dead are welcome. Because the Lord has said that the dead will be risen first. The dead will be risen first. Then we that are alive, says the Apostle Paul, will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the cloud. Okay? So she's taking that information as in telling you, no, the dead's been around for a while. I've been meeting with them. I'm encountering them. There's way for you to meet the dead. Okay? And we know that when Bill Clinton was in office, Hillary Clinton said she spoke with some of the dead in the White House. So they've been claiming that dead have been around. They've been talking to the dead, which are fallen angel, fallen Nephthalian. It's all a combination of their plan and their agenda. My brother and sister, that's what that is. That's what Wonder Woman is. She bring that last image of herself unto the world, showing herself like a goddess that will protect humanity, a friend of her friends, and an enemy to her enemy. Sometimes she shows herself in gold, golden, like a golden child, or gold like someone special. So she's telling humanity, I am someone special. And someone special. And so when I saw her in the heavenly places, I saw how they adore her, how they serve, they look up to her. Okay? She is the one that they want to reveal to the world, my brother and sister. But look how long this is taking and for her to be in reveal. And when the first Wonder Woman were made back in the 80s, they were not dressed as this on his dress. The last Wonder Woman is dressed. She was specially, she's been chosen. Marvel chosen her, or they had chosen her, is specifically her height, her weight, everything specifically. And she must be Jewish. She must be Jewish because those are the people she came against for so many thousands of years. Okay, so the one that would play her part in this movie must be 100% like her, must dress like her, must be a Jewish descent, my brother and sister. Okay, it's not by coincidence. The whole movie, the costume, the design, the weapons, okay, the shield, everything she uses. The island now, the island is sort of like a magic island. Nobody knows, and it is hard to come across the island, and only in the islands are women, okay? Because why woman? Because woman is what this demon specifically uses, okay? It's what she uses against humanity, my brother and sister, through lust and so much more, okay? And the island is like magic. It is there, but it's not there to the world. It's only there to them that belongs to the island, in other words. Okay? And so, everything in regard to this Wonder Woman is evil. Evil, evil, evil. But why is it revealed this way? Everything is so close. They're revealing the secret, practically. But not all. But if we pray and ask the Lord, he'll show us. He'll reveal to us the things that they don't want us to know. The snake on her is the one seeking you out to devour you like a roaring lion, my brother and sister. That's the one that is seeking you out. That's the one that wants to attack you. Okay? This is why. Again, the dress that she had is short. It's very short like the real Wonder Woman. And all the women that are dressed that are around her must look like her because she is the goddess among all of them. They know that she is their protector, my brother and sister. Okay? Everything is specific, and the reason why is to have people trust unto her. Trust her. Okay? Praise the Lord. So Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. And in God, the most important things for you and I is to know. Whether you are in tribulation, whether God is working patience in your life, the most important thing is for you to know. God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, for lack of knowing. Lack of knowing. You need to know who's coming against you, how, my brother and sister. And you need to know that the Lord is with you. He is for you. You can call on the Lord to protect you, to keep you, and to deliver you anytime, any day, any hour. Him that watches over you never sleep, never slumber. Psalm 121. You need to understand that you can always call upon the Lord. Why is God establishing the New Jerusalem on the earth? John said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God with men, he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God established his kingdom on the earth, my brother and sister. In heaven, he's already established. He is God Almighty. Everybody in heaven can come to him and talk with him and see him and see his power. But not on the earth yet, but he's going to establish it on the earth. And we will worship him. He is our God, my brother and sister. That's his plan and agenda. This is what we're being prepared for by the Lord every day and every hour, him working in our life. This is why we need to repent daily, my brother and sister. And patience and experience and experience hope. And the moment you're walking with God, God is working patient in you. These are fruit of the Spirit. He's working these fruit of the Spirit. You begin to learn experience, and experience as you continue in it, hope. 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 Many people have no hope. None. You can only get hope or come to hope and receive the fruit of hope, and that fruit to be established in you is the walking with the Lord. He is the only one that can bring you hope. Establish hope in your life, in your soul, in your spirit. Hallelujah. And patient, experience hope. Experience hope. My brother says, twice the word experience is being referred to. Because you go from one level to another and to another level in God. Thank you, Jesus. And your closeness to him. And hope maketh not shame. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. It's not going to make you shame because it's bringing you closer to God. You're being covered by him. The only time you get shame is when you sin. Sin brings you shame. Hope brings you covering of God. When you're walking in hope with God, you are covered. There's no shame. When Adam and Eve were naked in the garden, they were covered with hope. When they sinned, shame came on their life. There was no hope anymore. No hope at all. So shame. They prepare leave and cover themselves. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, hallelujah, is shed, is poured, is filled, my brother and sister, in your heart by the Holy Ghost who is given unto us. My brother and sister, God gives you the Holy Ghost for you not to walk alone, never. And he sheds through the Holy Ghost he gives you, he shed. But that means the Holy Ghost needs to be in your life before. That means you living and walking with the Holy Spirit. One of the things we've seen people in the last day is losing the Holy Spirit for years. About 30 years, people have been losing the Holy Spirit more and more every day. And they feel empty. They go to church and still feel empty. Why? Because they're grieving the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit until the day of salvation, Paul says to the churches. Grieve him not. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? With sin, especially sexual sin. This is why among ourselves, Christians, we don't talk about sex with one another, especially if we're married. We're not supposed to, because that grieves the Holy Spirit. You see, that grieves the Holy Spirit in us. If you have a sexual problem, pray about it. take it to Jesus. Ask him to help you. Fast and pray. Whatever it is, fast and pray. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of people think that if they have a sexual problem, oh, let's bring it to the pastor. Let's call the pastor privately. Let's sit with the pastor and explain with all kinds of details this sexual problem. Now you are tempting the pastors and the wife. My brother and sister, no! Take it to the Lord. Take it to Jesus. Okay? Whatever it is, I don't need details. You say, Brother Harvey, pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And you can fast and say, Lord, set me free from this. But in the moment you sit with the wife and the pastor, and you and your husband begin to explain to them the sexual problem that you're having, you're tempting them. My brother and sister, no, you're grieving the spirit in them. I knew very anointed men of God who thought they can counsel anybody in the church. Started sitting with people telling them the sexual problem, now they're backsliding. My brother and sister. But before they backslide, if I mention anything, I say, oh, Brother Ellie, you please. Why, you're weak in that area? What's going on with you, Brother Ellie? Just cancel them. Sit down with them. Hear what they have to say about it. And they sit down about it, and they ended up in fornication. Okay? No. Take it to the Lord in fasting and prayer. My brother and sister. No. That grief is a spirit in us. My brother and sister. You have to, once that happens, you have to repent. Sincere repent. Ask the Lord to set you free. Because that's going to open door to Allah. My brother and sister, no. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Notice how it says that for when we were yet without strength. Amen. This happens to everyone. And the last day we're going, you feel tired most of the time and so much more. Okay? But in due time, and the due time is the time of God. It's the time that God have appointed to help you. When humanity find themselves weak, God appointed a time for Jesus to die for them. That's when he went to the cross. So pertaining to that, whatever you and I are going to, when we pray and fast, the time comes when God intervenes. Not going to give you more than what you can handle. He doesn't want you to fall. He can keep you from falling, the Bible says. And falling is sin. If you sincerely come to Jesus crying every day, praying and fasting, to stop you from falling in sin, he will stop you from falling. It says promise, it says word. I thank you, Jesus. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. I hope the Lord confirmed that. He will. The Lord is faithful. We are the ones that are unfaithful. But he is faithful. He keeps his word. My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. I love the Holy Spirit. In the millennium, I walk with him, the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was holding my arm. I'm always being careful not to grieve him, because we do grieve him with anything we see or say or whatever. We need to be careful. And the Lord, I asked the Lord at one time, Lord, he was taking me to the millennium. And I said, Lord, praise the Lord, will you send the Holy Spirit to come and bring me to the millennium? I asked Jesus. And he did. And one time, the Holy Spirit came, the person. Oh, he is so gentle. Oh, I'm waiting for the day that I can go to the Holy Spirit in heaven. He is so awesome. And the Holy Spirit came and talked to me. Wake up. We're going. He walked me out of my body, and immediately I saw each other walking in the millennium. The Holy Spirit was holding my hand like a father who loves you and is protecting a child. He began to walk with me, and the Holy Spirit began to give me instruction. He says to me, walk with me, but don't look to the left and don't look to the right, he says, my brother and sister. At this time, I believe, was when people started sinning in the millennium. And the Holy Spirit did not want me to see the sins that they were practicing by this time. So he told me specifically, it's like if I wanted him to walk with me or be with me, I needed to take close attention to his instruction. His instructions were very clear, very detailed and very clear. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Keep walking forward with me, he says. My brother and sister, we were walking miles together. And it was so wonderful because out of his presence, the anointing, the comforting to my soul. Hallelujah. Amen. See, Brother Benjamin said that the Holy Spirit had told him not to look to the left or the right now. See? It was so awesome. But I'm going to tell you the mistake I made. As the Holy Spirit was leading me, there were these women in the millennium that were making some kind of homes, but they were not dressed properly. Very, very beautiful. And I looked, and they looked so beautiful. Their hair, their body looked so beautiful that I kept looking when the Holy Spirit had told me not to. I began to repent. Because remember, he had nothing to do with sin. The Lord is. And I was saying I'm sorry to the Lord. Because I just offended him, his spirit. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. The Lord forgiven me. And when I looked, there was the Holy Spirit walking with me. He was taking me to the Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. We arrived there. All of a sudden, when we arrive, I'm looking. Hallelujah. I'm looking at this beautiful building. And I saw all these believers that came down to the millennium from the wedding that were getting married. When I looked, I entered to the building where all these people were going in to be being married. And in front of the aisle, and the pulpit, like people say, the altar, I saw the Holy Spirit standing, and I saw Jesus standing, and they were marrying people. Hallelujah. It was the most beautiful scene you ever saw, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. They were marrying the couples that were coming in through, and they were blessing them. They would say, I bless your marriage. The Lord was saying, I bless your marriage. He raised his right hand and he said, I bless the marriage. Could you imagine Jesus blessing your marriage? My Lord, my God. He is so awesome. He is so good. He was blessing each and one of those marriage couple that were coming forward to being married by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And the Lord wanted me to see this. Hallelujah. And the millennium, the Lord and the Holy Spirit are going to marry people themselves. No more a man. It's going to be God, my brother and sister. I see Mary, Adam, and Eve in the garden. He's going to marry people on the earth again. It's going to be awesome. Don't miss the millennium. But not everyone is coming to the millennium. Not everyone needs to come to the millennium. Hallelujah. I believe some cases are by choice. But every choice will be explained to every person. Amen. Don't think the millennium is a cookie because it's not. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be that easy. There will be much temptation later in the millennium. It's going to start beautiful, holy, righteous. The Lord will run it. He's not going to be, hallelujah, some people say a sweetheart to everybody. He's going to love everyone, but he's going to punish sin. You need to understand. He's not going to let sin get away in the millennium. People will be angry with him. Okay, that's why when Satan is released at the end of the millennium, people run to the devil. But I'm going to tell you, if they run to the devil, they'll get themselves in the biggest trouble of their lives. Because as they run to the devil, there's no other way out. Okay, look at people that are running to take the vaccine. What did they find themselves into later on? Bible says that, hallelujah, Jonah cried out of the belly of hell. David cried out of the belly of hell, and God heard their prayer. My brother and sister, there is a lot of crying on the earth right now, or in the belly of hell right now. It's a lot of crying. God, get me out of here. I don't know what I was getting into. You don't listen to God? Oh, my Lord. And the trouble that humanity finds itself, hallelujah, is endless. Endless trouble when they don't listen to God. My brother and sister, okay? It's hard, it's difficult. Okay? Someone says to me, after they took the vaccine, she says, I feel my soul being taken out of my body. That's her word to me in an email. She got the vaccine. Please pray for me, Brother Elvie. I show you the email, you'll cry. You will cry. A Christian who took the vaccine and said, I feel they're taking my soul out of my body. But, see, hallelujah. If you doubt the message, go to the Lord and pray and fast. Okay? Do what white people used to do in the olden days. When someone said, thou sayest the Lord, this is what is coming. If you take this by seeing God said, you will not be part of his kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me pray and fast about this word that the messenger of the Lord sent. And fast, they fasted and prayed. 10, 20, 12 days, 30 days. God, please confirm this message. If this is you, God, please talk to me. Please tell me. Please show me. And when God showed them, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. All right, it's your message. But people are too lazy nowadays to do that. They want their message like the hamburger. They order anywhere. They want it right away. Okay? Done quickly. The meat is not even cooked. That's all they want it. Then they end up vomiting the food later on. So sad what people are falling into. My brother and sister, they want it hot and quick. No, give it to me now. Okay. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Verse 7, for scarcely will one die for the righteous men, yet perhaps for a good man, some will even dare to die. What a question, Pohat, huh? Well, anyone were willing to die for a good man. No, it was the good that died for all the bad men. Jesus died for all the bad in order to bring them into his kingdom and turn them around. My Lord. Verse 8, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See? It was yet when we were sinners that Christ died for us. Okay? Not righteous, but sinner. He came to, hallelujah, save sinner, not righteous. Amen? Because in the moment they were believing they were righteous, they were sinner also. The only thing that was refusing to repent. But the sinner kept saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And when we're presented with hope to be saved, yes, yes, I receive you, Lord. Yes. They were given the opportunity to come to the light. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from the wrath through him. Hallelujah. When God put his wrath on the earth, which he's going to do, God has said it through all his prophets, how he's going to bring the judging on his judgment on humanity. Read and believe me, begin to read Isaiah 29 and keep reading. Isaiah 17, keep reading. Keep reading Jeremiah. Begin to read Jeremiah 29, 30, and 31. God's going to bring his judgment on humanity, severe judgment, through the Great Tribulation very soon. And even before, there will be sign of his coming. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. But through his blood we're justified. How is that? When you repent sincerely with all your heart and you depart from sin, you said, God, I'm not doing that again. I'm so sorry. The blood of Jesus cleanses us for all unrighteousness. Sin is unrighteousness. It cleanses our right. At that very moment, you're repenting, you're confessing it with all your heart. His blood is cleansing you at that moment. At that moment, he brings you into his body. His body, the body of Christ, when you have received the Lord as your personal Savior. When the judgment is dropped on this earth, nothing can happen to you. You're already part of his body. And his body can never be harmed anymore. His body was only harmed when he went to the cross. That it was crucified. But it was resurrected on the third day, according to the word, my brother and sister. Resurrected. People saw them, more than 500. Thank you, Lord. He presented himself to his disciples, to the people, for 40 days and 49, like in the times of Noah. He presented himself before them, and they saw, they sat down with him, they ate with him, they heard his teaching. And he said, this was the promise of the prophet. This was spoken, that the Messiah will be crucified, but on the third day, he will be risen again. He reminded them of the word that he said through the prophet, through David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all the way through Moses, all the word, all the way to the beginning. He reminded them that everything that was said of the Christ that will come and die, and on the third day will be, hallelujah, will risen again. My brothers, he reminded them of all the Bible, all the word, because all the Bible, all the word is true. It's his word. He's willing to confirm at any time. And he told all those people that what was written on the word, he fulfilled to the letter, my brother and sister. And people were seeing it. He was right there. He still had the scar in his hand, all over his body, on his leg. He still had the hole from the screw that they put through his arm, my brother and sister, and the leg, and they're looking at him, and he was not a spirit. He ate fish and bread with them. He broke the bread, my brother and sister, and they were looking at him. Wow. He is Messiah. Mashiach is Messiah. Wow. They're looking at his arm. They're looking at his legs. His face. He had a crown, a thorn. When he was crucified, he still had all the scars on his forehead of the thorn that trespassed his skin. Because it happened so recently, the scar was still there fresh, my brother and sister, because it only happened in 3 days. The scar was still fresh, and they're looking at the scar. They're looking at his face. They're looking at his eyes. It is the same man they knew that was teaching them, that was eating with them, that walked with them, and that was teaching the word to the multitude with the same voice, with the same love, the same beautiful eyes, the same hair they were accustomed to, spoke with them with such a great love. The same. It is the same that I have met in heaven, that has spoken to me face to face, the same that the disciple knew, that David knew. When David heard, I heard the Lord say to my Lord, sit up the right hand unto thy enemy are under thy feet. David knew him one-on-one. He heard Father saying to him, sit up my right hand unto thy enemy are under thy feet. It was the same who visited Abraham, my brother and sister. And Abraham prepared a meal for him. His Abraham called him my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It was the same who showed himself to Moses. Hallelujah. When he spoke to Moses, when he saw the bush burn, but it was not being consumed, the same that told Moses, remove the sandal from thy feet, because the place where thou standest is holy. And now I have chosen thee to send unto my people who are in Egypt. Through thy hand I will deliver them. But with great power and great wonder I will show them, he says to Moses. My brother and sister, now these 500 people plus was witnessing him in front of them after the third day of resurrection, eating bread. They could see still the scar fresh in his hand and feet. If I was there, I probably would not stop looking at his hand, scarring his hand or on his feet. You can still see on him now the scar. They're still there. Scars are still on the feet. My brother and sister, hallelujah. These are the signs that he has to show us that he is who he is, that cannot be imitated, that cannot be made fake. My brother and sister, he died for all. The one that died for all, the Bible says. Verse 10, for if when we were enemy, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. His life at the resurrection, hallelujah, is the greatest sign of salvation for you and I. My brother and sister, his sign of resurrection, that he went to the cross, is a sign that we can claim we've been reconciled to Christ with God. My brother and sister, I had asked the Lord that I want to speak with Father. No one come to the Father except through him. And he had asked Father, and Father had said yes. And Father has spoken with me like I have spoken with, hallelujah, with people down here, but with greater love, not to be compared with men, and greater care. My son, he says to me, as he speaks to me, my brother and sister, Father, as his word says, is love. He is love. God is love, my brother and sister. He doesn't treat me like a stranger or like a friend. He treats me as his son, because through Christ, I am his son. We've been reconciled with him through Jesus, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In heaven, we are called redeemed through Christ. Thank you, Lord. What a great blessing we have. Verse 11. And not only that, we should also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, forgiveness, atonement. Hallelujah. Atonement was made for the sins of the people when the animal was killed, but the reason of the atonement was that was done once a year was because people sinned. The animal was brought us in atonement for God to forgive the sin of the people. But the animal represented the blood of Jesus. And the part that I did not know, I kept hearing the animal being crucified for the sin. When the Lord showed me that the animal that Abraham found, that the priest found to make an atonement for the people, was an animal that he made appear among the animal. See, when the priest was looking for an animal to crucify, a 1 year or less, or 2 year or less, I believe it is, they were looking, God, in his wisdom, told them through Moses that the animal that they were used for the crucify, to make the atonement for sin, cannot have any scar, rash, or rank or nothing. It needed to be pure. My brother, any swelling, nothing physical can it have. In other words, that animal, the reason why God gave them such a great detail to the rabbis was because if God did not give them the detail, they would have used any sick animal to crucify it for sin. And when they spent all morning long looking for the animal, they could not find one. But now they have to trust in God to provide one. See, God brought the action of the crucifixion, of the sacrificial of the animal as a walk of faith with the priest. So in other words, for the priest to be able to find an animal to sacrifice, they had to go into the level of faith. They had to believe that among all the cattle, there will be an animal pure enough, clean enough for the sacrifice. It will have to take an action of faith in order for the animal to be there. But it also had to take from God a miracle for the animal to appear. And the Lord took me there in the spirit, and I was looking there before, and I saw the priest looking for an animal all morning long, and they could not. That was by the times of David. And I saw the priest looking for the animal, and the Lord had me there watching them. And I'm watching them. They could not see me, but I can see them. And they're looking. And they're getting discouraged, like, we cannot find one. And it was the time where you had to find the animal for the sacrifice. You had to find it. And they're going through all the cattle. They're going through all the babies, 2 years down. They're looking for the sacrifice. And they cannot find one. And all of a sudden, I see the Lord make one appear among them. And the priest come and see that new one. They didn't see that one before. And they approach it. And it has no bug sting on it. No scratch. Nothing. Pure, holy, 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 holy. And the priest will say, we found one. And the other priest will come quickly. Let's see. Let's inspect it. And I saw them inspecting the leg, everything. Everything, the whole body. We finally found one. Oh, thank you, God. They say, they began to worship God. What is the attitude that Paul explained? This is why a lot of the writing of the Paul people don't understand. Look, verse 11. Not only that, but we shall also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. His perfect sacrifice. Oh, thank you, God. The priest, oh, thank you, God. We finally found one. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're going to be able to offer the sacrifice unto God in the sin. Oh, will be forgiven to the people. Praise you, God. It was a time of joy and rejoice with the priest, for the priest, my brother and sister. We should have the same attitude with Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. When you repent your sin and he forgives you, say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me, Lord. Thank you. Be grateful. Be grateful for him. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Praise God for Jesus. That pleases the Father. Paul says, hallelujah, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received our atonement. Oh, thank you, Father, for Jesus. We have received our atonement, forgiveness. Hallelujah. Verse 12, therefore, as by one man, sin entered, Adam, into the world, and thereby sin. Notice how it is in the spirit. This is why I tell you about the open doors. My brother and sister, I believe this verse will help you understand what are open doors. Because for years you have been talking about open doors. How can one thing enter into a person? Well, he is one way things enter into people. An example. Therefore, by one man sin enter into the world. When adding any sin, my brother and sister, sin enter into the world. So they're not obeying God. Thou shalt not eat from the fruitful, and the day thou will eat, thou shalt die, God says. When they disobey, that into sin. Death, now, the demon of death, horrible thing, horrible fallen creature, horrible evil thing, enters now. How do death enter into our world? How do death enter into people's life? Simple. Hallelujah. When sin enter, and thereby sin. Okay? Disobedient is the open door to sin. Okay? Sin is the open door to death. Fallen angel. Fallen evil ones. My brother and sister by sin. So their passes now. Now this says, excuse me, let me continue. Their passes unto all men. Now there's, excuse me, I'm going to get all of you now. I want all of you. Okay? Go through Adam and through all the generations of Adam now. Unto all men. For all have sinned. Adam, Sam, and Eve, they had children, and children and children after that. Sin continued through those generations. Death now has the right to go and kill. And that's why Cain was able to kill Abel, my brother and sister. Because how did the devil use Cain, and how did death kill Abel? Through Cain. It passes through, my brother and sister. Verse 13, for unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Hallelujah. Here's the plan of God that the devil thought he would take advantage of when God gave Moses the law. Now the devil is saying, now I have the right to kill people because if they sin, I can kill them. My brothers and sisters. But there was still forgiveness of sin through the sacrifice. Hallelujah, of the animal, which represented the blood of Jesus. So unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. So if a person sinned and there was no law, the person can claim and say, what sin? What are you talking about that I sinned? Because there was no law. The law was the one that brought the word sin, or that imputed sin. In other words, imputed sin, or made it clear to understand sin. This is the wisdom of God, my brother and sister. That's why Paul even says later on that the law is holy. The law is holy. But the law cannot save you. Only grace can save you. Praise the Lord. Only Jesus and grace come through him. Verse 14. Nevertheless, there's rain from Adam to Moses. See, they had a time when it rained. Could be 10,000 year, could be 3,000 year until Moses, but it rained. We know that's a fact that it rained until Moses. Even over those who had not sinned, in similar to Adam's transgression, he being the figure of him that was to come. Because Jesus was not come yet to die on the cross, even to those that had not sinned, because sin opened the door to death. Now, death are even authority over them. My brother and sister, that's horrible to say. But that's the way it was. That's why they thought that when Jesus went to the cross, they thought that death was going to end him. Because before everything else, they had reigned. My brother and sister. But the plan of God was for death to kill Jesus on the cross. Because Jesus cannot be killed. He cannot die. No one take my life, he says. But I lay it down on myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to raise it again, Jesus says. So that plan was to kill him. That's why it hasn't had those people lie. That they saw him speaking against Moses, the law, in the temple, and accuse him. They had Judas saw them, had him incarcerated and beaten, and then a crown of thorn was prepared for his head, and a cross was put on his back. And his back on the cross was put of the sin of all humanity. How and why? All the sin of humanity was put on the cross to be crucified, my brother and sister, because there was no sin in him. And since he was righteous and holy to God, it was fair for him to carry the sin of all. It was fair to God. Even though under our own conscience, we say that was not unfair. He was not guilty. But it was fair to God because God knew, since God made everything through him, it was through him the only way God can save everything, my brother and sister. That's why through him, if God can save anybody or everything. But if it was not him, how can everything be safe? No, then everything will have to go to hell. But then God offered his lamb. That's why he was called the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When John saw him, he said, this is the Lamb of God that taketh the sin of the world. He recognized him right away. Praise your Lord. Because Jesus coming in peace, a lamb walks in confidence, peace, joy, and full of life. Lamb is a full of life. That's why two to 1 years. This is the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world. My brother and sister. And there was nothing in him of guilt or sin, but he had control over sin. Why a lamb is offered for sin? Because there's no sin in a lamb. There's no guilt. A lamb is by the mother eating, rejoicing. I don't know if you watch this video on Discovery Channel. When the lamb, you see the lamb, all of a sudden it's eating and it began to run. And they go drink milk from the mom. And then it runs around, rejoicing. Just rejoicing. This is the Lamb of God that takes the sin of the world. And when John saw Jesus, he immediately identified him as a lamb. His joy, his behavior, his meekness, he identified him as a lamb right away. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Praise the Lord. And he came to be baptized. Humble, meek. He asked John to baptize him. And then John refused to baptize him. My brother and sister. But what did Jesus answer? Let us fulfill all law. Because Jesus came to fulfill the law. My brother and sister. It was righteous for him to be baptized. In the sense that righteousness was being revealed through him. There was no sin in him from which he has to repent. But in order to show us obedient to the word and being baptized, when people write to me, Brother Irby, should I be baptized? And I said, it's biblical. Why would you ask me something that the word said we should do? Go baptize him in my name. Teach him everything. Teach him to keep my word and baptize him in my name. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Lord says for us to do that, we should do it. It's not questionable. And I don't know why people question about being baptized. Jesus himself, as an example, was baptized by John in the River Jordan, my brother and sister. So he baptized him in the Jordan, and there comes the Holy Spirit over Jesus, and there comes the Father voice over him. In other words, the beginning of the mighty work of God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What is that revealed to us? That God has always been together as one. Let us make man in the garden, God says, in our image, in our likeness. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit always at work together. Jesus began the ministry. There comes the Holy Spirit, there comes the voice of the Father, saying to humanity, I'm here. My Son is here, my Spirit is here, I'm here. Let's work. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know that the greater work being done in the last day is Father doing it. What did Jesus say? No one comes to me lest the Father brings him. The greater evangelist work is being done by Father and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is convicting people of sin, and Father is bringing them to Jesus. That's why Father uses anyone up there who humble themselves to him, to tell someone, repent, repent, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Every time you hear someone telling someone, come to Jesus, that's Father talking through them, telling them to come to Jesus. He's bringing them to his Son, because the Father knows and the Holy Spirit knows this very well, that only Jesus, only through Jesus, God can forgive sin. Only Jesus save, my brother and sister. Father knows this very well, and the Holy Spirit knows this very well. This is not questionable, like a lot of people are doing down here. Is Jesus the only way to Father? Is Jesus the only way to heaven? With the nonsense question. Those are nonsense, my brother and sister. In the Bible, the only salvation is Jesus Christ. You can only be saved through him. Okay? It's only one mediator, Paul says, between God and men, and that's Jesus. One. You can never find another. Ever, ever. There was never another. There will never be another. My brother and sister. That is clear in the minds of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know what people are thinking or what they're allowing into their heart and mind. Get your mind clear. There's one mediator between men and hallelujah and God, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only atonement for sin, my brother and sister. That's why we're studying the book of Romans. We need to make this clear, because the devil is deceiving many, misleading, misguiding. Be ye not deceived. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also the free gifts. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. So much gift in the Bible. For it's through the offense of one many be dead, but much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man. They can tell you a thousand stories. And tell you that in those stories, there were a way for people to escape. But in regard to God, in regard to the Father and Holy Spirit, salvation is only by one man, and his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The greatest rabbi that ever set foot on this earth is Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded to many. That's it. Don't look furthermore. Don't look to anything else but Jesus. God has given us the only way he will receive us, you and I, and that's through Jesus. You don't come through him. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Father doesn't want to hear it. Father is love. Hallelujah. You never meet one that can love you more than God. Never. Not even your father, not even your mother, not even your husband or your wife can love you like God. It is a love that cannot be explained. When some people that have experienced God's love will never want to be married again, with any man or any woman, because the love of God will fill you completely in heaven. A lot of people want to come down to the millennium and be married. Okay, with God, that's no problem. God established marriage. It's not a problem with God. Oh, you want to be married? Well, I'll marry you in the millennium. No problem. I'll give you a partner. Ask me, and I'll give you a partner. I mean, you want to ask me for someone that will love you, take care of you, and really be there for you? I'll give you one. I got many of those. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. But if you only want to have his love in heaven, and you never want to be married, God said, all right, my child, and will fill you with his love, you will have no place to be with any man or any woman. Praise you, Yeshua. And you're not sinning. Thank you, God. So it abounds unto many. That's why many are being saved in the last day. Many are being saved in the last day. Because his love is the gift by grace, oh my Lord, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. That's it. This is established in eternity in heaven, and this cannot be changed. This is established with ink. It's established with power. My brother and sister, when I was taken to the throne as Jesus, the power that comes out of the throne is like every second nuclear weapon or hundreds of nuclear weapons going off every second. Boom, 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 boom out of his throne. My brother, lightning and power like I never seen before. My brother and sister, comes out of Jesus' throne. This is an everyday thing. My brother and sister, he is so powerful and everything has been established in heaven and power in his throne. His throne will reign forever and ever. When he established his throne on the earth, this earth has never experienced power like it's going to experience. His throne, his everlasting throne, says Daniel, will be established, my brother and sister, on the earth. Thank you, Lord. Verse 16. So as it was by one man who sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gifts are for many offenses unto justification. It's a gift, hallelujah, that God has given of justification, forgiveness through Christ. That justification is a gift. That is incredible. The gift, hallelujah. Free gift is for many offense unto justification. So many things are a gift. And when we read the Bible quickly, you don't notice what's a gift. So you pray, take the time, look into the Amplified Bible, look into the Jewish Bible, begin to look at these gifts that God has given us. He says in Ephesians, he took captivity captive and gave gift unto men. On the third day of resurrection, my brother insisted, he took captivity captive and he began to release gifts unto men. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. That's why in the last day we got so much talent, talented people. Now, the people use the gift for vanity, that people use it for vanity, but it's been gift of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave freely, he gave. But the free gift, the gifts are free. He's given them free for people, but use it for his glory. Remember that. God gifts you, and you'll do, like right now, when the church gets transformed and changed, the church is going to move in such a great power. Be careful that power will not go to your head and say, oh, look what I'm doing. Nothing of that. Look what God is doing through me for his glory. Say, glorify him who uses you. The other night, I said to the Lord, Lord, are you still going to use me when you transform your bride? And he gave me a dream. And the dream, he took me to the days to come when he changed his bride with great power. And I saw myself moving in the power of God. And I was speaking to people. And people were asking me. And God through me was showing them signs and wonder that they could not believe their eyes. My brother and sister, I was speaking to them. But it was not like I'm speaking to you with the Lord's power. This was power that can knock down a horse in a second. My brother and sister. And people were like, wow. And that power was flowing. This power of God was flowing through me for the glory of God. And was bringing people on their knees before God. Oh, so awesome. Oh, thank you, Lord. He has so much in store. He's going to show his word. This word is power. His word, before it is undone, he's going to show his power. Before he released the Nephthalians that want to come and show their fake power and the fallen angels that are locked up that call themselves God that will be released and walking in the daylight, that people will get underneath and maybe worship them, Jesus is going to show them power through his bride that will knock them down to the floor. And say, there is a true God in heaven, and we have sinned against him. My brother and sister, he is going to give hope to this humanity before Father releases those demons, because Father is going to release them. Father is so mad at the sin of this humanity. Hallelujah, that he's going to release those demons. My brother and sister, it's going to be terrible down here. You don't want to be around. Do not be around. They are horrible. 999 feet tall, some of them. And they can step over humanity card and people smash them like cockroaches. And I'm sorry for the detail, but that's what I saw with my eyes. People screaming, being smashed, the bone broken and everything, and screaming in pain. And there's Naftalian laughing aloud. After you can hear for miles long. They're laughing like a 5,000-watt speaker coming out of their mouth, rejoicing how they're punishing humanity, my brother and sister. And they said to humanity, bow to me. The pure humanity with broken bones. Oh, my brother and sister, if you don't bow to the real God, you may end up bowing to the fake ones. It's coming. Get ready with Jesus. Do not play around. Do not take your salvation lightly. There's no time to be wasted. The only time God has given humanity left is to repent and turn to Jesus and become part of his body. If you're part of the body of Jesus, the evil one cannot touch you. He cannot touch you if you're part of the body of Jesus. And if God allows you for to be tested or tempted, it's because God has a plan with you to raise you, to use you, to purify you, and much more. Thank you, Lord. Verse 17. For by one man offense, death reigned by one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Everything points to Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, everything that they spoke about, the prophet, Mashiach, hallelujah, HaMashiach, Mashiach, they were talking about Jesus being Messiah in Hebrew. He is the Messiah I waited for. They digitally, says Peter, study the word and when the Messiah will come. When will be the time of his coming, my brother and sister? And Isaiah rose up and said, a virgin will be with a child, my brother and sister. And when they heard Isaiah prophesy this, these people were rejoicing. Oh, he's coming. He's going to be born. He's going to come. A virgin will be with a child. We're finally getting our Savior. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. You're finally giving us the Messiah. But when? See, God doesn't give you when. God never told them when. But they're celebrating a virgin will be with a child. He will be called Everlasting Counselor. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, thank you, Father. They were celebrating, and the elder studying the word of Isaiah, Psalms, the writing of Moses. And they're excited, looking for the day when he will be born, because he will be the Savior of the world. And the enemy in hell was shaking and scared. We need to stop him. If there are a child to be born, we need to kill this child. We need to kill their hope. We need to stop this. We need to stop this. Satan, you need to stop this. Dad and Satan were planning for this child to be killed. And when the three kings came, following the star, which is Jesus, that they heard of this child being born because they saw the star, they came to Herod, the king. And they told him about this child that will be king. Oh, Herod got really scared. Someone will take my position. I better kill the firstborn. And he gave order. The devil working through this. Remember we were reading last week that it says in the Bible that of our right hand is Jesus, God. But at the right hand of the wicked, the Bible says there is Satan. Satan is at the right hand. Satan was at the right hand of Herod, King Herod, my brother and sister. And immediately the devil says, I got this. I got this. I know what I need to do. It's just kill the firstborn. And Herod immediately makes that into law, abortion. That was another law of abortion that was approved, okay? It was approved by Congress in Egypt in the times of Moses. Now it's approved by Congress in the times of Herod, my brother and sister. His Supreme Court approved this garbage of abortion. And then the edict goes out that it's been approved, that the court of Herod have approved this. And it goes out, my brother and sister, the Supreme Court of Herod is the same Supreme Court that we have in the United States today. It has to go through them first. And they have to approve the law of abortion. And there goes the law, my brother and sister. And you see this, how similar it is, that the law of abortion that been approved in New York has been approved all the way to 9 months. All the way to 9 months, and even further, depends, according to them, depend on the case of the woman or the situation. Okay? It can go further, my brother and sister. The same law that the devil at the right hand of King Herod approved in the times of Jesus has been approved in New York City by the court. Same form, same way, same devil. The devil doesn't change the way he does things because it works for him. Humanity will follow it, and he'll get what he wants, killing the firstborn. My brother and sister, killing child that God has a plan with them. That's what that firstborn stands for, my brother and sister. Your firstborn is the child that you will spend all the time teaching, preparing to be a great man or a great woman. It's very significant because the firstborn points to Jesus, the firstborn of the Father. So it's prophetic. The firstborn is prophetic, my brother and sister. This is why the devil, when he wants to go for someone special, he goes to the firstborn. Because he knows that the firstborn is special. It's a similar to like Jesus. Okay? And it comes with great responsibility, great gifts, and great authority in the kingdom of God. And the devil knew one that says, if he goes for the firstborn, there he kills the gifts in that person by killing the person. And if he was to be a great prophet, great evangelist, a great pastor, the congregation that will come after now will never come to be. So that's the plan of the devil for humanity, my brother and sister. And so when you study the law that's been approved on this earth, you immediately find how it's been approved that is biblical. I remember being in Massachusetts when the court in Massachusetts immediately approved the legal license for gay marriage. It was the first time, okay, in the United States that this license was given by a court for gay marriage. Why Boston? Why Massachusetts? Because that's where the Constitution was put together, the United States. If you go to the foundation of a country, see, the devil likes to go to the foundation. If he goes to the foundation of a country, my brother and sister, what happened? Everything else falls. It's like a domino effect. And once that was approved in Massachusetts, they immediately moved to California. Gay marriage, gay licensing for marriage in California. Follow. My other state immediately was shaking. Oh, what's going on here? How come this is moving so quickly? My brother and sister, because the devil attacked the foundation of this nation. That's why it moved so quickly. He knows what he's doing. He's very knowledgeable on how he's done it in the past. And if you want to know, study God's word. It's there. God revealed the secret plan of Satan in his word. How he does it, how he goes around. So the firstborn, he knows exactly what he's doing. My brother and sister. And it's God's word. You don't need to read a newspaper or put on CNN or Fox News. Read God's word. It's there. Tell you exactly, my brother and sister. So before the new comes out on CNN and Fox News, I'll read it in the Bible first. It's there. Thousands of years earlier, before it comes out there, my brother and sister. So we're living in difficult time. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment to condemnation. Okay? Judgment to condemnation. Hallelujah. Judgment and destruction and condemnation is lake of fire. Or hell. Hell, lake of fire. My brother says, one step follow the other. Sin will lead people to death. That's why God tells us to repent when the generation sin, because it'll lead you to death. It opens the door to death to come in. And it'll get to the point where people begin to die because of sin. And then people, what's going on? How come these young people are dying so quickly? My brother and sister, sin. Sin. That's why. Came upon all men, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift unto justification of life came upon all men. You want your generation to be blessed? You serve the Lord. You heard, oh, you got to preach to them. You got to bring them to church. Yes, you, all those things take their places and what we need to do. But the first step is me repenting, confessing my sin, me building my relationship with God first. And after I'm walking with him, I'm repenting every day, I'm confessing my sin, then I can teach others. Freely you receive, freely you give. If you don't have something, how can you give it? And that's where the devil tricks people. Oh, you got to go preach. You got to go do this. You got to go do that. And but you're telling people to go do this, people that are still struggling with sin. Christians still in fornication. Watching rated R movie, pornographic movie at home, enjoying it for hours. They come to church on Sunday, and then the preacher tells, no, you got to go preach. You got to go preach. You got to go preach. That person is still sinning like crazy every day, and you're telling them to go preach. What they're going to bring to the people? How rated R was the movie? No. We first establish our relationship with God by repenting, by confessing our sin, by looking only to serve him in holiness and righteousness. Our lives need to be with him first. Okay? Seek the kingdom of first, Jesus said to his disciple, and every other thing will be added unto you. Because people are looking for all the other things first. And then they want to seek the kingdom. And if they don't get the other things that are added in your relationship with God, they get mad. They get sad. Why to go to church for? I'm wasting my time, they say. Why read the Bible for? I'm wasting my time, they say. It's because they're looking for the other things instead of looking for God and building a relationship with him. What is the first commandment? That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thine soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. That is the first commandment. But the preacher from the pulpit, you got to love one another. That's the commandment of God. Love one another. How are you going to love one another when you're not even in love with God? How are you going to love your brother and love your sister when you're not in love with God? Huh? God loves you. God loves everyone. But are you in love with him? Does your heart burn for him? Is your heart on fire for him? Thank you, Jesus. And your relationship with him. Because if that is missing, what are you going to share with the people? My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. It has to be out of that love with you and him that you can share. Praise you, Lord. The first thing Jesus did with me when he came to me was, my son, stay at home, and I'll tell you when to go do ministry. Lord, but I've been at church, my son. I kept insisting, and the Lord said, my son, there's much false teaching on you. That got my attention, because I kept insisting. He told me, I will keep coming to you. Pray, fast, call unto me, and I'll keep coming to you. Okay? I will clean you. Okay? I will purify you with my blood. Keep repenting and fasting. Okay? Before I send you out to do ministry. Praise the Lord. At the beginning, I didn't understand. but I trusted him, and I kept repenting, and I kept fasting, and I kept seeking him. A year passed, and I felt so good in my relationship with him. He was coming to me. He was taking me to heaven and much more. I thought I was ready to go out the ministry. He said, no, wait, my son. I will tell you when, he says. It's first our relationship with him, and then later it's ministry. A lot of people have it the other way around. It's ministry, and then it's relationship. But they never finish the ministry, and they never start the relationship. My brother and sister, it's opposite. Opposite. No. Our relationship with him at first. First, my brother and sister. And if it's the other way around, ministry don't work. It can only work when Jesus is in our lives. And we're talking when we're led by him. He's teaching us. Thank you, Lord. He says to me, out of what I have given you, give to them, he says. Hallelujah. It's the only way. I cannot give you what I don't have. It has to be what he has given me that I can give back to you. I receive freely. Thank you, Lord. He'll bring you to the point of relationship where you don't want to go out preaching anymore because you're having a wonderful time with Jesus. He's visiting me. He's taking me to heaven. I'm walking with him in heaven. He's talking to me. He's teaching me. He's my rabbi. Why would I want to leave that and go do ministry? Huh? Thank you, Lord. And he said, no. Now I want you to start ministry. Says to me in 2012. Now it's time. Lord, how? I'll take care of it. Trust me, he says. And he did. He did everything. He took care of everything. He's awesome. Verse 19. For as for one man, disobedient, many were made sinner. So by one, the obedient of one should many be made righteous. How are we are being made righteous? By through obedience. Obedience is the key for righteousness. In case you're wondering, how can God make me righteous? Obedient. That's why he's telling us to obey. To be obedient and seek him and come closer to him. And as we obey his commandment, my brother and sister, through that, obedient will be made righteous before him. My brother and sister, righteousness is right standing with God. You're standing on his right hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And all this work is of the Holy Spirit. It's of the Lord in our lives. That's why when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, do not look to the left, do not look to the right, just forward, he says. Walk with me forward. He grabbed my hand. He began to walk with me like a child, like a father will walk with his 2-3-year-old child. Gentleness and love. He did not force me. He did not make me. The only thing I knew was that the Holy Spirit was looking forward and was walking forward with gentleness and love. I saw it with my own eyes. God wants us to walk this way. He has put his spirit in us. But obedience is a must with him. Remember when Jesus explained this to me. My Father, he says, demands obedience. And obedience he must get. There's no other way with God. You talk to Father about obedience. Father will say, I demand obedience for you. For my creation. The way it is, when he called one of his angels, oh man, they immediately fly before him and stand there and bow their head. Yes, Father. I saw it. I saw an angel like 99 feet tall or more. Father was talking to him. I saw him. He bowed before Father and said, yes, Father. And I heard Father said, my child, go. He was talking to him, telling me specifically what to do. My brother and sister, doesn't matter how big you are in heaven. When God calls you, they're immediately there. One time, Father was talking to me, and he called Brother Larry and Sister Chu Thomas in their glorified body. They were there a second right beside me, to my left. So Brother Larry and then Sister Chu Thomas, they were both with their head bowed to Father, and Father was talking to me. Thank you, Jesus. That's the way it is heaven. There's no other way. My brothers, everyone obey him in heaven. There's no disobedience in heaven. There's only the earth is only full of disobedience down here. But all that is being taken care. And if they don't get right with God, they're going to get left with the enemy. If they don't get right with God, they're going to get left with the enemy. There's no other way with God. My brother and sister, no other way. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Moreover, the Lord entered that the offense might abound. But where sins abound, grace did much more abound. There you go. My brother and sister, grace is much more because of the sin in this earth. Can you imagine the new Jerusalem on the earth? That's going to come when all sins are removed. My Lord, my God, it's going to be powerful, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And God shall wipe away all tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That's it. When he put an end to all things, that's it. My brother and sister, enough. Enough. He put an end to evil, to sin, to death, to the devil, to demon, to the false prophet, to the antichrist. All demon. All going to the lake of fire. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, they are firm, burn with fire and brimstone. They'll be melted down to nothing. And be spread all over the lake. They'll still be alive, but in severe, or they'll be still be moving in severe pain, like they cannot even imagine. Bible says that the devil will be tormented day and night. The fire will never quench, will never stop. Day and night they will be crying, but their cry will never be heard anymore. My brother and sister, like those that are in the lower part of hell, all the way to level 17. The Lord took one of his servants there. Although he saw the higher, lower level in hell. He said that their child abuser on the earth, when they die in sin, they have not repented, they immediately get taken to the lower part of hell, level 11, level 12, level 13. Those are their level. These child traffickers, sex abuser, I know, that's what they're thinking. The fire there is so intense that not even Satan or no demon wants to come close to the fire, my brother and sister. It's so intense to the entrance of those levels that the fire from the entrance all the way in changes color. Blue, red, yellow, dark. It changes color. Red, black. Each level in the fire in inside those caves is so intense that if the devil put a finger there, it will burn. And they grab these human that have committed those sins on the earth, and they throw them in there. Their scream is so loud in that intense fire that the fire surrounds their mouth, their nose, their head, their feet completely. You cannot hear nothing coming out of them. They're screaming to the top of their lung. They're screaming like 1,000 human in one. But nothing comes out because the fire is consuming them every single second there. It was better for them to never be born than to touch and abuse a child sexually. It was better for them to never be born. Those sins are great in the kingdom of God. And the punishment for those sins, if they don't repent, you cannot even imagine the punishment. My brother and sister, it's terrible, terrible. Child abusers, hallelujah, rapists. The punishment, they have no idea. Hallelujah. But they are greater level than those. Those are like level 11, 12, 13. It goes down, I believe, to level 17. Those are the, that becomes a higher level. The fire there cannot be described by word. I cannot describe you the level of fire under those other levels. But there are people in those other below level, my brother and sister, that if level 11, the fire is so intense that they cannot take it, and the lower level, you cannot even imagine the fire. It cannot be described by word. It's go beyond. All those level, intense level, are nothing compared to the lake of fire where Father took me. The Lord took me. It was so intense that God has to cover me, protect me with his power in there. And I was like, oh, my Lord. And the Lord, fear not. Fear not. But it was something I must see. I must see to describe people what I saw. My brother and sister, it's indescribable. My brother and sister, the next day God took me there and brought me back that I was so shaken. I saw Satan as like a fallen angel. He saw me. He bowed his head. When I said to the people, do not pray for the devil, but if you see the lake of fire, you will pray for the devil. Do not pray for him. I saw him. He knew that God had taken me there. And he bowed his head. The devil bowed his head like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to end there. There's no choice for him. He's going there. His judgment has been decreed already. There's no way he can repent and escape it. My brother and sister, he should have repented in heaven. God told Brother Larry that when pride was found in Satan and he went around, convinced the other devil to follow him, other angel to follow him, before they left heaven, Father spoke to them and said, if you follow him, you will never set feet in this place ever. And I will judge you. God says to them. God looked at all of them. They all go, Father spoke to them. The voice from his throne came. If you follow him, you will never come to this place. Okay? You will never set feet in my throne, and I'm going to judge you with him. God said to them, before they left heaven, this is right there when Satan sinned and decided to go and convince all the angels to follow him. Before they left heaven, right there, I'm almost pretty sure that some of them decided to stay. And then those other rest, the third part, decided to follow the devil. They were convinced by Satan of his lie and deceit, and they followed him. My brother and sister, that's it. That's it. After that, they were judged. They said God spoke to them. Before they left heaven, they were still perfect. They were still in the spiritual body. When they began to lose all that, that's when they came down here following the devil. Then they find themselves no presence of God, no more love, no more this, no more that, emptiness, and they began to change into the horrible creature now that they're in hell looking. Some of those angels that were beautiful in heaven, you got to see them now. Horrible creature. Horrible. You look at them, it makes you want to vomit. My brother and sister, how? God never made them like that. God made them into the most beautiful thing you can look upon. You go to heaven and you see those angels, and you say, wow, how beautiful they are. God made everything beautiful, full of life, full of his presence, of his spirit. In heaven, they're all rejoicing. Angels worship God. Everyone, creature, seraphim, archangel. Like the one I spoke, the beautiful creature, beautiful, golden, the glory of God in him. His word is tried through the fire when he speaks. beautiful creature. And I spoke with him. He was about 17 feet tall, and he was looking down, talking to me. I'm 6'3", and he was looking down, talking to me. Like I'm talking to a one-year-old baby. Thank you, Lord. They love God. They love God. They will never think about to do what those others did following the devil. They know God is holy. He's worthy to be praised. And that's what they do. They serve God for eternity. That's all they want God to finish all this, clean out the earth, make everything great, and come down here. And then that's it. No more evil. Put it into it. Throw them in the lake of fire. Seal that. Get that out of the way. No more. Boom. That's it. Everything beautiful and glorious. For glory, that's what we're waiting for. Hallelujah. Our God reigns, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. It is over. Hallelujah. There's no more chance for the devil in them. Hallelujah. Verse 21. That a sin had reigned unto death. Even so, my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What did I tell you? When the New Jerusalem gets established, that's what I was thinking of what the rabbi say, that earth will be greater than heaven. Because look what happened. Look what Paul says. My brother and sister, that even so my grace reign. This grace that we're saved by, was saved by grace. And grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It turns into glorious. It's glorious. Grace is glorious. Okay? Through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says. It goes into eternity. Glorious. Righteousness. Pure. White. It reigns. So my grace reign. This is an establishing of a reign that is a grace. That's incredible. It's indescribable now. You read it. You say, what does it mean? Well, it's going to be revealed. The redeemed in heaven are waiting, an angel waiting for this to be revealed. How is it going to look? I want to know how it's going to look. They don't know what it's going to look. We don't know. They don't know. Only God knows. My brother says, I got a nice view in the millennium from God when the crown of glory was being put on some. And it was so powerful and so glorious. Because I was only allowed to see it from far, so far, miles away. But I can see it far and at the same time close. When the Lord Jesus was handing out of his glory, powerful glory, the crown of glory. The Father spoke to me the other day. How can you explain that? Tell me. It's unexplainable. This grace that is going to reign, you cannot even imagine the power and the glory of God through it. And it's going to be revealed afterward in eternity, eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? It's going to be revealed through the Lord. The bride is going to be revealed through the Lord. Okay? No one knows how is it going to look. Bible says a glorious bride. Well, how is it going to look? No one can say. If they have not seen it, neither earth or heaven. That's the mystery that's going to be revealed. That's going to be awesome. Thank you, Lord. We're living in wonderful time, looking forward to seeing that. The revelation of the sons of God, the Bible says. The manifestation of the sons of God. That's a revelation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin this, but I'm not going to finish Romans 6. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Hallelujah. And that's the question he's asking. And it's actually the opposite. We don't continue in sin. We're repenting. In other words, you put a stop of sin in your life when you repent. When you say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you stop sinning. You ask, I mean, stop sinning, Lord. You stop going to the bars. Stop going to the prostitute. You stop watching those movies. You stop sinning. You put a stop. You repent, you put a stop. Okay? And you say, God, please forgive me. Please. Please forgive me. Now, I want to show you something in Proverbs. Praise you, Jesus. 28. Proverbs 28. 13. He that cover his sins, and we're talking about sin, shall not prosper. But he who confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. See how it works? It's not only confessing sin. Oh, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. You have to forsake it. Have to forsake it. No more. No more. Lord, help me. I don't want to do this no more. No more. I'm not going to buy with you no more. Okay? I'm not going to go watch that art movie with you no more. I'm not going there no more. Don't invite me because I'm not going there. I have repented. This is it. I used to like those killing movies, all these famous actors. Why are you stopping, brother? Like, please come with us. It was so fun to be with you and all that, and to go drink beer and smoke cigarette, brother. Come on, come. No, I am not going there no more. I have repented from all that garbage. I am not going there no more. Okay? We need to forsake. You can't say, I repented, so no. Cannot go there no more. Forsaking it shall have mercy. My brother and sister, the mercy of our Lord is an abundance for us. When we forsake it, sin, oh, it's just so incredible. Verse 2, God forbid, how shall we who are dead to sin, hallelujah, live no longer therein? That's it. Hallelujah. We're dead to sin. In other words, sin is not a boss anymore. And this, we need the Lord to help us. It's not so simple to say, oh, because I have people saying, Brother Obi, I have a hard time quitting smoking cigarette. I'm a sample. Okay? You ask the Lord for help. You say, Lord, I don't want to smoke cigarette anymore. And you fast and pray sincerely. Help me, Jesus. And the Lord will help you. That's what the Lord wants us to know, that without him, there's nothing we can do. Don't think and say, well, I repent. I'm okay. I'm fine. You know, no, you got to ask the Lord for help. Lord, I don't want to smoke anymore. Lord, I don't want to go to the house anymore. I don't want to go to that place because you know I was sin, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. You need to cry out to him as much as you can. Okay, get on your knees if you have to. Get in the floor if you have to. I had a brother when he struggled with something, he will be repenting, but he will be struggling. He will get into a closet, fasting in the floor, crying out to the Lord. Not coming out of this closet until you help me stop this nonsense, Lord. I don't want to sin no more against you. Be crying like a baby. Thank you, Lord. When he will come out of that fasting, a week or two, he will feel like a new man. Thank you, Lord, because he was weak with alcohol. He drank alcohol all his life. And now he's a believer, and he wants to start drinking. And sometimes people are so bad or can be so bad. We invite him to a party, a wedding. All of a sudden, he'll be finding himself on the table talking to his friend. His friends are drinking beer or wine or whatever. He will find himself, hallelujah, drinking wine and beer with them. And forget about the promise he made. And then, like, he's beating his head. Oh, no, no, I did it again. He will come home drunk again. He's like, no, no, I can't do this anymore. I got to stop this. First of all, your friends. If your friends cannot understand that you cannot drink anymore, you got to let them go. Sincerely, I had a lot of friends myself that I had to let them go. If friends are going to lead you into sinning, let them go. You need to be careful who you hang out with, my brother and sister. We are servants of the Lord. We serve the Lord. And this is an everyday thing. This is not just a weekend thing, a Sunday thing. People say, talk to me about religion on Sunday, not any day of the week. Any other day of the week, I'm drunk. Don't talk to me about religion. When I'm drunk, they say, no. No, no, no. It's a new life in Christ that we've been called unto. My brother and sister. And God knows we people struggle with things, but we cry out to him. How many times I cry out to the Lord? I said, Lord. Remember, I said, Lord, without you, there's nothing I can do. And Jesus said, I'm glad you know this, my son. He says, do it. Because I was struggling. But when you ask him for help, he'll help you. You know, I'm not here to judge you, my brother and sister, because the word is the one that brings the knowledge to us of the things that we should do or not do. Okay? We share the word and the testimony. Verse 3. Now that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death. There you go. We were baptized unto his death so we can enjoy his life. Because we passed from death to life, says Paul. So we're baptized unto his death so we can enjoy his life. We can receive his life. That's why we need to be baptized, because you're baptized unto his death. So you can enjoy life. You can receive the new life. When you understand that you are dead to sin, then you can serve God and seek God and serve him. Very important. Thank you, Lord. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should we walk in newness of life. Newness, my brothers and sisters. New life. In other words, we walk, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, into the newness life. Newest life. Thank you, Lord. I love it because Father has his glory. He gives his glory to his Son and his Holy Spirit. And he's going to give a crown of glory to his bride. Amen. But he has his glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He knows that in order for us to serve him, we have to come into the same state like Christ down here on this earth. Dead to sin. Dead to this life. My brothers, it's the only way we can serve God. How do we do that? To calling unto God, fasting and praying, and committing to his word. Commitment is what the Lord wants from each and one of us. This is why how you can look forward not to go into the bar again and getting drunk. Because you're committed with Jesus. You're in a relationship with him. You know that you need to be faithful to him and serve him. So you're not going to go to the bar anymore. You're not going to go to the places that will make you sin. We each know the things that we used to do that was sin before God. So each and one of us needs to stay away from the place. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. Even some sickness come through sin. Sickness of our body come to sin. My brother and sister. You know that, give you an example. If your doctor prescribe you a new medication, what's the first thing you need to do that a lot of people don't do? They run to the house and take the medication. That's not the first thing you do. You know what you do? You take that medication into prayer. Lord, will you allow me to take this medication? Even before you go to your doctor, pray. But if he prescribes you a new medication for your body is not yours now. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You should pray first. You should pray first. And say, Lord, should I take this medication? Because most medication has side effects. That means that will cause other damage besides what you're trying to get out of it. You're probably looking to get relief from that medication, but it'll damage your liver, damage your heart, damage other organs. that are important by the organs, you need to pray before you do. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. Okay? The knowledge that I'm sharing with you, that the Lord has shared with me over the year, will help you to stay away from pain. Okay? Pain is not the life that God wants us to live. And a lot of it is allowed so we may learn to trust the Lord and come to the Lord for leadership in our life, leading us. Okay? I know some of you may say, but how can the Lord lead you out of pain? The Lord can lead you out of pain and lead you not to end up in pain. And he can also take the pain away. And in some occasions, he'll take it out quickly. No more pain. Other occasions, you need to go through it. Okay? Because you learn to know the Lord in an area of your life that where you should know him. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. It's very important that when someone share, hallelujah, when someone shares something from the Lord, you go to the Lord about it and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to understand what the brother is sharing. I don't want to live in pain. I want to serve you. I want you to heal me from this. And if you fast and pray, you're sincere. If you're seeking the Lord about it, you're sincere. The Lord will show you the way. And he always has a way for us. Look what we were sharing about the coronavirus vaccine. There's a medication that all the changes the RNA causes will fix it, will restore it. My brother and sister, a doctor there that we were sharing the link on Sunday, I already put out this information, and people can take it at home. I believe it's called Pine. Oh, let me look it up again quickly. Thank you, Jesus. It's something so simple, but it's so powerful, my brother and sister. Okay? It's simple, but powerful. Thank you, Lord. And we should, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Be looking out to the Lord, seeking out the Lord to help us, my brother and sister, with these things. Okay? Trusting the Lord and all. But the cure, before they released the coronavirus vaccine, they already had the cure. They already knew about the cure. Thank you, Lord. But they're not going to tell you and I about it. Only the Lord can help us. See, only the Lord is our helper. And so that's why we only go to the Lord. And we say, Lord, help me through this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The antidote. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's by doctors. Dr. Judy McCovers. She's a physician. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Says COVID shot or not vaccine by experimental bioweapon. This is the upper sensory. I recently interviewed Dr. Judy McCovers, and then information about the antidote for COVID-19 vaccine. So those that have been forced to take the vaccine, this is the antidote that may help defense against the mysterious ingredient. Otherwise, maybe you had no choice in the matter. Maybe you were employed, but were not employ you without taking the vaccine. And you had to support your family and decided to bite the bullet. But if that is you, then the article is for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is called Suramen. That's what it's called. It's the most important antidote, 100-year-old essential medicine, African sleeping sickness. You can inoculate the 10-year amount of the Suramen and reverse the autism. And so the antidote is called Suramen. Suramen is found in many forests around the world in pine needles. Okay, let me put this in the... And I went and looked up a video online and it talks about the pine needle, my brother and sister. This will, like, reverse everything that the COVID-19 vaccine is doing. Okay? It works. It works. People are posting the link in the chat room. Okay? Let me see if I can, where I'm getting the news from. Have this information. It's very important that we are informed. Knowing in the Bible is informed. Okay? We need to be informed. My people perish for lack of knowledge, not lack of knowing, being informed. Okay? Yes. So, it's found in the white pine needle. I believe they have this stuff on Amazon. If someone can find a link in Amazon or any other website that can lead the people to purchase it for themselves or their family, that will be great. I'm going to order an order of it so I can have it at my home also. Some of you need to order this stuff. It may not be for yourself or for other family members that you can provide them with this. Give them some. Have them take it. Okay? This physician, like many other physicians that God is using to release this stuff, they're taking a great chance on their own life to do this. It's not easy, my brother and sister. There are a lot of doctors, physicians are being persecuted like you cannot even imagine. They're putting their life on the line by doing this. Okay? Not so in the United States, it's the same. I believe I saw it. No, there was a link in Amazon that they have them. They do have them in Amazon. I saw a link to it. I did, you know, I shouldn't probably follow it more, but you're supposed to find it. There are many different pine are good for you to make tea. Okay. I believe people, hallelujah, sister said maybe only in Germany that it can be found. Let me find a link on Amazon because I know I saw it. And there was this other doctor. After I found this, I researched a little bit more. And there was another doctor that is recommending it, okay, for that. Practically the same reason, okay? It's the one... They have pine needle tea. Pine needle tea. Okay. There's also a Korean one. I know that some of it, which come from different country, a lot of people will not compare it. Okay. But yes. Okay. Thank you, Brother Benjamin. He put in there also another link for people. Pine needle. You can put an Amazon, you'll find it. No, because I compared it online. I was doing study on it online last night or the night before, and I was looking to see if there's a difference in between the different pine needle. And no, because there was a doctor also who recommended it, who says that it really works for all this type of different things. Okay? The pine needle tea, it does work, she says. It does. She put it to the test. She made it. There's a video where she shows how to make the tea out of the pine needle. And she said, boil water. Don't put it in the water while you're boiling, because then you will destroy the ingredient that is in it. No, boil water in a pot. Let it boil until you see the smoke coming out of the pot. And then have the pine needle tea in another container. Pour the water on the container where you have on the different container where you have the pine needle tea. And then put it in there and cover it for 15 minutes in that other container. Seal it, put it there for 15 minutes. Let it work there for 15 minutes. If you do it the other way, if you boil it on the stove, with the boiling water, you'll destroy the working ingredient and the tea. She says, the way she explained it, and she's a doctor, okay? The way she explained it, okay, when you put it on the pot, on the second container and you put it with the tea, with the hot water, and you cover it for 15 minutes. She said, you will not destroy the ingredient this way, okay? And she said, it works. She has given it to her patient, I believe she said, and oh, man, they said it's incredible, okay? She said, basically, you don't need to add anything to it after you make the tea this way because it has what it needs to remove all this other stuff out of your body, okay? It is known also that, I believe it is known also that it will destroy the nanotechnology in it too because it's been tested, okay? It's been tested on technology and it will destroy it, okay? That's basically what I understood with the explanation that were given, that it was tested on technology years ago and they find out that if you use it, it will destroy the technology. So if you got nanotechnology through it, it will destroy it. It will reverse the RDNA and all that stuff too. It all just, everything that they're doing will destroy it. You know, reverse it or make your system go back to normal. So it's like a miracle. It's a miracle. This pine needle stuff, it's like a miracle. And they knew this stuff was around. That's why they're not going to make it available for people. It's hard to find. Okay? Hallelujah. Yes, do that. Yes, we're better off taking it. Even though we were not being vaccinated, we're better off taking it. Okay? Yeah, some people say they were all honey. But this other doctor said not to add anything. She will recommend you add it. If a big F, which will never happen, never let it happen. But if it was vaccinated, I would have not added anything just to make sure to remove the bot. Whatever the effect the vaccine will have on people's body, okay? Yeah, but I will never take the vaccine anyway. So, if you got a family who've been vaccinated, give them a cup of tea. Invite them to your house for a cup of tea. Say, here, honey. Here, brother. Here, sister. Take a cup of tea. And give them a cup of tea. Let them sit with you and laugh. And, you know, by the time they come out of your house, the vaccine is all destroyed in their body. Nothing in there, that word. Okay? So, they'll thank you later. When they repent and they go to eternity, they'll thank you later. Praise you, Lord. But be wise. Be wise. Keep it quiet. Tell your family afterward you're giving the cup of tea. Okay? Tell them later. Praise you, Lord. You know? And if adding honey would not do anything bad anyway, just also do that. Add some honey to it, and if it doesn't change the effect, I believe what the doctor was explaining that is how you boil the tea. If you take the tea and put it in the pot where you're boiling the water, that will destroy it. But if you do it the other way, it would not destroy the ingredient in the tea. It's the ingredient in the tea that these people are afraid of, the government is afraid of, because they say it's a very destructive tea. Once you take it, if you got nanotechnology, it will be destroyed. The RDNA modification, it will be destroyed. It will change your DNA back to normal again. It is very destructive, according to the government. So they were trying to keep this away from the U.S., okay, because they know how destructive it is, okay? Only the elite was supposed to take this cup of tea, not the regular people. They wanted to keep it away from the regular people because if they do take it, everything they've done so far will be a waste of money, okay? But you see, knowledge, my brother and sister, how important it is. As I look it up and learn from other doctors, I'm getting more information out of them on how wonderful this tea is, this pine needle tea is. It's incredible. It is like a heaven miracle. That's what that is, a miracle out of heaven for us, okay? Brother Benjamin is giving another link there. If you can take some of these links, save them, because then I'll have people emailing me, Brother Bobby, where's the link that was posted in the chat room? Thank you, Lord.
You can keep yourself strong.
Okay. That's it.
Then,
there you go. Let me see. Oh, man, I wish I could download that link, but some of those links are in private sites, so they're very difficult to obtain. Okay. Let me see. It will probably give me a feedback if I turn it around to my speaker so people can hear it. Let me see if I can download the link. It's what I'm trying to do in the last few minutes we got left. Just so I can play her audio. It is great. I think it will really help a lot of people, brother and sister. No, I don't think that I will be able to download this link this easy. But it is a great link. It is a great link. And I know it will help a lot of people. Some of you may need to follow that link, and my brother and sister, I'm telling you, we're living in the last day. There's so much happening. We need to keep safe. We need to keep serving the Lord safe. Hallelujah, because he's about to return. Follow that link that Brother Benjamin just put on the chat room, and I believe this link is going to help you so much. Hear what the doctor had to say. Okay, I'm going to try later on to download that link, see if I can have it for Sunday. You need to hear. And it's just so incredible what she's saying, and it's so true. That's the part about the link, that it is so true, my brother and sister. So true. The miracle of this pine needle, it is just a miracle of God. The Lord told me they will come up with another medication or vaccine where people will be able to reverse the effect. And if they truly repent, they will be forgiven. So we're there. We're here where we needed to be. This is awesome. Now it depends on the people now to take this stuff, to make the effort, to truly repent. I believe that people want to get right with God again. Okay? If people want to get right with God again, they will be able to, they will be willing to take this medication. They will be looking forward to taking the medication. Okay? I told my brother that if he takes it, it will remove the effect of the COVID-19 vaccine. He's like, because he wants to have the vaccine. So he doesn't want to take anything that will remove it. But if you know it's not pleasing to God, if you find yourself that you make the biggest mistake of your life, now is the opportunity, okay, to make atonement, to really return back to God and say, God, you know, I'm sorry, okay? Now is the test of humanity after all this information that is coming out. Because you can find this pine needle, according to the doctor I was listening to, you can find the United States, you can find it almost in every single country. Korea has it, China has it, European country has it, Germany has it, Italy has it. They have it all over the world. The reason why people think that we don't have it in the United States is because the pine needle that are used in different countries, the trees are looks different. But it's basically the same. The ingredient is on the pine needle. And when you make it, when you try it, if you don't think the one in the U.S. works, but only the one in Germany, then order the one from Germany. But you will read online. You can research it online. They're all the same. They have the same ingredient in them. They just wanted to keep this stuff hidden from people. Because the doctor, the American doctor that talks about this, hallelujah. And yes, but see, if they truly repent and they take that medication, the Lord will help them. Okay? Someone mentioned that to me on the phone earlier. He said, Brother Elvi, I was some of these people that the demon are running their body. They're not going to be willing to take it. Well, if the person, because what did Jonah say, that he cried out of the belly of hell. He cried out from hell. And the Lord heard him. He says, and God heard my plea. God heard his prayer. Out of hell he cried out. David, out of hell he cried out. And God heard his prayer. God heard his prayer. Hallelujah. So, my brothers and sisters, this is why I tell you, one thing the Lord Jesus mentioned to me is, we're not in the great tribulation yet. The great tribulation will be the final period to the chapter, where once it begins, I say, hallelujah, my brother and sister. So that's why I have taken things to Jesus to understand, to know, hear from him what he had to say. Okay? Maybe that all, not all cases are the same. Okay? And in the cases he showed me, the Pope's soul was taken out of the body. Okay? Amen. There you go. Brother Benjamin just found a really good link also on Amazon that will help you. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So, as long as you, it's the one for T, which the doctor was explaining on YouTube. No, silver needle. There we go. And there you go. You can compare the ones he shared with the one you find on Amazon. And you'll see that a lot of it is the same. Okay? It can be white. It can be brown. It can be, the one he shares, white. But it was white. You can compare it to the one she's showing. And you'll find the same on Amazon. You'll find it online. We search it. Learn from these professionals, which are the same. And you'll find out that the pine needle itself was being hidden for a long time, especially in the United States. They've been keeping it away from people. And it's available. It's hard to find, but it's available. You may find yourself having a hard time finding it, but find it and order it. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord Jesus Christ give you his shalom. Shalom, shalom, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
You are here.
Well, now the
clear. Clear in your understanding, so you'll say, this is the day, and now is the time, and this is the place, and I'll no longer look back, and I'll no longer wonder when, but I'll declare, now is the time, and the Spirit of God shall work in my house, and in my family, and in my children, and in my address, not someplace else, but in my house, and the Spirit of God shall rest upon me, so you can declare it and shout it out loud. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see that you're working, you never stop working.
Things of the past,
you never
and
stop,
the visions,
you
and
never
the dreams
stop
of the past
working.
That seem so far away and seem so big, and now they've come and they're here today. No longer wondering when or wondering how, but now declaring by my Spirit and by my power, it shall surely come to pass. The things that I've planned and the things that I've purposed, saith the Lord, they shall surely come to pass. And now is the time, and this is the day, and by my Spirit I'm making the way. And by my Spirit you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day. For I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say, it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today.